Wonderful to see everybody out this morning. Again, I'll let it be known that we are not streaming live on Facebook yet. We had ordered the thing to try to take care of the getting a better connection in the auditorium here, but we haven't got that quite figured out yet, so we're still working on it. But it is good to see everybody out. We are still recording the lessons, so they do end up on Facebook. I have been behind on getting them on the website, but we were trying to keep them up on that too. So if you desire to go back and listen to a lesson or to have it, we are recording them. We get them on CD or to you in a way that you can have it. So, this morning, we're continuing on our series of lessons that are focused on Jesus. And so far, we have talked about Jesus and his deed. Then we talked about Jesus and the prophecies being fulfilled. And we talked about Jesus, of course, coming down to earth and living a human life, that he was human. And then we talked about Jesus and his sacrifice. We talked about how it applies to the Lord's Supper. And last week we had asked the question of who killed Jesus and pointed out through our actions that we have part of the consequences of Jesus having to come down and die for us. And talking about Jesus throughout all these lessons, it comes down to the point of Jesus saves. To look at and see the point, the reason that it's important that Jesus is indeed God, that he's able to forgive our sins. And the importance of his fulfilling the prophecies is because it proves that he is our Messiah. And looking to see that he lived a human life, that he is the one and only mediator for us. And looking to see his sacrifice, and which is how he is able to save us. And pointing out that there's a reason that we need to be saved due to our sins and falling short of the glory of God. It all kind of comes to this point that Jesus saves. Jesus is our Savior. He came down so that we could be saved. And it's only through Christ, as we brought out that he is our only mediator, he is our only Savior. He is the only one in which we can be saved. In John chapter 14, if you open up your Bibles and follow along. John chapter 14, and in verse 6, it says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus is the only one we can. If we desire to get to our Father up above, if we desire to get to heaven, then it's only through Jesus of how we are going to get there. It's only through him that we can get there. In Ephesians chapter 4 and 4 through 6, Ephesians 4, 4 through 6, if you open your Bibles there, here it brings out and says, there is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you. There is only one Lord, one hope in which he's given us, one faith in which we believe of what he has done for us, one body, one church which he's established. It all comes down that there is only one Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in which we can be saved. In 1 Corinthians 1:13, as Paul writes to the church of Corinth, and they were struggling, focusing on the person who had taught them, the person who ended up showing them the right direction of that Jesus is their Savior. They were calling themselves their followers, disciples of Apollos and of Cephas. And so therefore he had to bring out that question, was Christ the Bible? They are all here teaching you so that you know the way of Christ, not their way, but Christ's way. We are saved through Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, 4 through 6. Ephesians chapter 2, you start up in verse 4. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. And raised up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
that in the ages to whom he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in. Here as he goes through and he lets us all of this, he continues to bring up the point in Christ Jesus, through Christ Jesus, through Jesus that we are saved. We are saved by the grace of God. It is a gift that he has blessed us with. Understand, Jesus was there in the beginning as we brought out another lesson. We started there in John 1, verses 1 through 3. To point out that Jesus was in the beginning. He was there with God. But then he came down to this world. That is a gift. He gave his only begotten Son that we could be saved. That we could have salvation. But with that point, many will hold on to this verse and say, well, you see there's nothing we need to do in order to be saved. And they try to say what we call the steps of salvation are unnecessary. That's what I want to look at today and point that those steps of salvation still point that Jesus is saving us. They all point to the point that Jesus is still the one that is washing away our sins, who is forgiving our sins. So if you will, if your Bibles will follow along, we're going to look at these points. The point that Jesus saves us when we listen to his word. We have to hear what Jesus has to say. Romans 10 and verse 17 tells us faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the word of God. And we remember John 1 verses 1 through 3 verse 14 refers to Jesus as the word. Jesus is the word, and the word was in the beginning. The word was with God. The word was God. Nothing was made without him. In verse 14, the word became flesh. Hebrews 1 verses 1 through 2 brings out God spoke in various ways in various times. But in verse 2 goes forth to say, but now speaks through Christ. We have to hear what it is our Lord and Savior has to say. In Matthew chapter 17 and verse 5. Matthew chapter 17 and then in verse 5. Here brings out, says, while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed him. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. God, our Father, says, this is my Son. Jesus is my Son. Hear him. Listen to him. Hear what he has to say. Therefore, we need to be diligent in studying his word. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15 tells us that we're to do that so that we can rightly divide the word of truth. In Acts, we see the brethren who were more diligent in studying the word daily to check and confirm the truth, whether it was so or not. We need to act upon those actions. We need to open up our Bibles and search the scriptures to see what the truth is. On that day of Pentecost, on the first day when the first brethren became Christians, they were truly baptized into Christ in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit had fallen upon the apostles. Peter stands up and when he speaks here in Acts 2:22, says, men of Israel, hear these words. They had to listen to what needed to be said. But there are those who claim the faith that God just enters into your heart and that'll change you. But the Word of God says something different. It tells us to listen to His Word. And let His Word, let the seed of God, of our Lord and Savior, be what changes you. You open your Bibles to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and in verse 14. I believe it makes it clear here in Romans 10 and verse 14. When it says, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? He says, how? How can these things be so? How can you believe? not come to taught you. You've got to ask the question. How can it be so? We have to hear the word of God. We need to open our ears and listen. But it's about hearing Christ. It's about looking and seeing what it is He has done for us, who He is to us, and what He can do for you. We have to hear Christ. And we must believe in Christ. Our faith has to be in our Lord and Savior. The faith must be in Jesus. It can't just be a blind faith in me and just accept every word that I have to say. I am human, I can make mistakes. You have to open up your Bibles and search the Scriptures to see if it is so. Hebrews 11. And in verse 6, Hebrews chapter 11, and then in verse 6 there says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. That when we seek Him, that we believe in Him. We must believe. We must have faith. Without faith it is impossible to please Him. In Mark 16:16, it says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believes not shall be condemned. Believes what? Believes in Christ. Believes in His sacrifice. Believes that He has been resurrected from the dead. A couple of verses that we'll bring out in other verses as we talk about repentance and we talk about baptism. And we'll read those verses later, so I'm going to turn to them now. But they show that our faith must be in His resurrection. Must be in His resurrection. Must be in Jesus Christ. Jesus made it clear that we must believe that He is our Lord and Savior. John. In John chapter 8, verse 24. John chapter 8. And in verse 24. John 8, verse 24 there it tells us, therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. He says, if we don't believe that He is our Savior, that He is the Son of God, that He is the one in the beginning that created us, we will die in our sins. Even when we look at Jesus being the grace of God, that He has given us salvation. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We must have faith. Even in the verse that we read in Ephesians, that it talks about our grace, that it is through faith. We are saved by grace through faith. We must believe in our Lord Jesus. Once again, it goes back to Christ. Even though it's about hearing the Word, we have to listen and study and search the truth. It comes back to Christ giving us the Word. When it comes to believing, it's about Him showing us the way and having faith, having trust in our Savior that He can forgive our sins. When we talk about repenting of our sins, we talk about turning back to Christ. How many times did Paul have to make the claim that just because grace abounds, do we continue in sin? Certainly not. Absolutely not. So just because God has given us a way out, don't mean you continue to be a liar, continue to be a drunk, continue to be a thief, continue down the wrong path. That means we have the opportunity to get out of that path. Have hope. And have hope to be forgiven. Have hope to have a home in heaven. Have faith that our sins will be forgiven. In Luke chapter 13 and verse 3 and in verse 5, here as our Lord and Savior is teaching, He has to make it plain and clear because they were all focused on others needed to turn away from their sin. And He brings out the point, I tell you no. I tell you nay, except you repent, you will not. We get caught up in pointing our fingers at everybody else and showing that they need to do better. Jesus says, unless you repent. When we talk about repenting, we're talking about turning the other direction. Making a U-turn in our life. When you're going down the wrong path, that you turn to Christ, fall on His footsteps. Acts 2:38, once again, looking at an example of the day of Pentecost, the day in which so many had obeyed the Word of God. This is what Peter had told them, and they were cut to the heart. They heard what they had to say, and Peter ends by saying, "This Jesus Christ who you have crucified." They were cut to the heart and asked, "What must we do? What shall we do?" So in verse 38, it says, "Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Once again, here bringing out, pointing to Christ. That we are going to Christ. Repent. Turn to Jesus. See, it's all about Jesus. And we might folks, well, that means we have to do something. That's what so many keep talking about. Well, so it's, we're not saved by our works. It's not our works that forgives our sins. It's not our works that saves us. It's the fact that Jesus is the one that came down and died for us. That Jesus has given us a path in which we can follow so that we can get to heaven. Jesus is the one that has provided these things for you and I. In the very next chapter, in Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. Once again, it says, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." It says, repent. And we turn and follow Jesus. In 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, if you will. 1 Peter 2 and verse 21. It says, For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. When he reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself who judges righteousness, who himself bore our sins, and his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. Here says, we were called to follow his example, to follow what he had lived upon this earth, willing to give our lives up for others, willing to go through the suffering of this world, so that we can face the righteous judge at the end. So that we can have hope. We can have a home in heaven. Again, though, it's repenting to Christ. Turning to Christ. Following the example that he has set for us. Otherwise, we wouldn't know how to get there. We wouldn't know how to act as we lived our lives upon this earth. We have our self-conscience that we have made for ourselves, that the standard that we've set for ourselves, that we've got from our parents. Besides that, we wouldn't know how to get to heaven. Our confession is to be of Christ. We look to Christ, we are to confess our Lord and Savior. Turn back to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Romans 10 and reading, starting in verse 8. Romans 10 and starting in verse 8. It says, "But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth that you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Again, come back to that faith. What that faith is? That faith that Jesus Christ has raised from the dead. That he was victorious over death. That he had victory over this world. And gives that hope to us. He gives that hope to us. We are able to confess these things. Take the example of the eunuch in Acts chapter 8, verse 37. When they came upon some water, and he asked, "What hinders me from being baptized?" And Philip answering him, "Nothing, if you believe, nothing." So he made that confession. "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Once again, everything comes back to Christ. Jesus is the one that is saving us. Our confession is proving our trust in Jesus. That's what Jesus says. Anyone who confesses me, I will confess sin to my Father. But anyone who denies me to this world, I will deny him to my Father. That means each and every day that we lived our life upon this earth, whether or not we are willing to stand up and claim our faith in Jesus. Stand for what we believe. Or if we cowardly hide behind the bush, don't let our light shine. We are to put our faith in Christ, and therefore we are to stand with Christ. Let His light shine through us. Our salvation is in Christ, therefore we must confess our faith in Christ. Next point is talk about baptism. I see that I messed it up. Thought I got it kind of. Once you get so high, you had to turn the color of white if it was up in the darker area than purple. But it says up there, it's talking about baptism. Baptism in Christ. Our baptism in Christ. I want to look at another slide that points to baptism on Christ, because as we brought out these other points, we talked about hearing Christ, we talked about repenting, believing in Christ, repenting, turning to Christ, confessing Christ. These are things that you can, most of the time, not all the time, come to an agreement with a lot of the faiths out there. A lot of people will come to the point, well, okay, I understand what we need to hear. Like I said, there are those who will claim that God just enters into your life. And then there are those who definitely claim that faith, but then they'll hold on to faith alone. But when you talk about faith, you might say, well, yeah, they have to put off these certain sins that shows that they truly do believe. And don't hold on to confession a little bit. But baptism, they struggle with baptism. How does the baptism plug into salvation? What about being immersed in the water and being brought back up plugs into Jesus Christ? I want to point these things out for a few minutes this morning. His blood through baptism. We reach His blood through baptism. In 1 Peter, once again, I've got to mess up there. In Hebrews, if you will. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews 2 and in verse 14. Hebrews 2 and verse 14, making sure here. It says, inasmuch then as children having partaken of flesh and blood, He Himself likewise shared in the same, that through death He might destroy him who had power of death, that is, the devil. Here bringing out and showing Jesus Christ's power. His power to forgive us, His power to help us. And 1 Peter 3, verse 21. That's not the first one. You might have a go ahead and turn to 1 Peter 3, 21. 1 Peter 3, verse 21. As we bring out having a clear conscience is where I wanted to go with that. In 1 Peter 3, verse 21. I will find that verse for you after services if you desire that. 1 Peter 3, verse 21. It says, therefore, there is also an antitype. Therefore is also an antitype, which now saves us baptism, not the removal of flesh of the blood. Flesh. But the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Through the sacrifice that Jesus has made. Through His sacrifice. Through His death is how we come and have that clear conscience. Understand, if you have that burden on your shoulders. Understand, if you feel that burden on your shoulders saying, I know I committed sin. I know I shouldn't have told that. I know that I shouldn't have taken that drink of alcohol. I know I shouldn't have stole that bag. I shouldn't have whatever sin it may be. And it's been bugging. It's been dragging me down. Here's the opportunity to have this lifted off. It's the fact that Christ will wash away your sins through baptism. Through our baptism. In Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13 and in verse 13. Hebrews 13 and in verse 13.
one. I apologize. No, verse 12. Go up to verse 12. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Wrong verse. So, verse 12. Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. He suffered. And through his blood, he sanctified us. In Ephesians 5, verse 26, though it speaks about marriage throughout this part, it also brings out Jesus and the church, bringing out what he has done for us, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with what? The washing of water by the word. Here brings out that we are sanctified through his blood. Sanctified through his blood there in Hebrews. And then here in Ephesians says, by the washing of water, we are sanctified. Once again, putting the baptism in with the blood of Christ. The fact that our blood, our sins are sanctified, are washed away through our baptism. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. Revelation chapter 1 and in verse 5. As it brings out here, it says, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler of kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed our sins in his own blood. Once again, bringing out that he washed us with his blood. And when do we reach the blood of Christ? Acts 22 and verse 16. Acts 22 verse 16, as Paul is giving a recollection of his conversion, he brings out the point of what was said to him. It says there in Acts 22 verse 16, it says, and now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized. Wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So Jesus made his sacrifice once for all. But how do we all reach that sacrifice? Through the baptism. Through being buried with Christ and raised up. Through being baptized with Christ, immersed in the water, buried as Christ was buried, resurrected, brought up out of the water as Christ arose. In Matthew chapter 26, Matthew chapter 26, verse 28. Matthew 26 and verse 28. As he brings out the Lord's Supper, as we read these verses a couple Sundays ago, it says, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Again, he says, this is my blood, which is shed for what? For the remission, for the forgiveness of sins. In Acts 2 and verse 38, we read this earlier, but the answer that Peter had said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins. See how the blood, in the verses that talk about the blood washes away our sins, or the blood being what sanctifies us, the blood which gives us the forgiveness of sins, is worded the same way when we talk about being baptized. Baptism that we participate in when we choose to obey the gospel, when we choose to wash away our sins, is what washes our sins away. That is the blood. That's how we reach the blood of Christ and wash away our sins. But that's not the end. When we are baptized into Christ, we must remain faithful in Christ. As we brought out there in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, it's telling us to follow in his footsteps. And Christ was faithful to even death on the cross. And we must be faithful throughout the rest of our lives. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Revelation 2 and verse 10 tells us, do not be afraid. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you in prison that you may be tried and have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Now, if you take that not in a literal way, that Satan is literally going to throw us into prison for 10 days, and then we have to go through that. But we are here on earth in his realm, as he is the God of this age, as he is the ruler of this world. And we must be ready for every trap and snare that he has set. we have to be aware that he's out there like a roaring lion, trying to devour. But if we remain faithful till death, we shall receive that crown of life.
You read there in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 13. Matthew 24 and verse 13 says, "But he who endures to the end shall be saved." As there are many false teachings, as there are many encounters of which we are tempted and tried, and which we will be persecuted for his name, we must continue faith till death. We must overcome these trials and temptations. We must finish the race, as Paul was able to say in 2 Timothy 4 verse 7. That he had fought the good fight, he had finished the race, and now there is waiting for him, laid up in store for him, the crown of righteousness. He desired to have that crown of righteousness. This is how we do it. But understand, when we choose to obey the Word of God, after studying His Word, after confessing our faith and willing to repent of our sins, we're not the ones that forgive our own sins. We're not the ones that wash away our sins. It is God who washes away our sins. It is the blood of Christ that washes away our sins. That's brought out in Romans. It brought out the question of how can one confess without believing? How can one believe without hearing? Same thing comes out when we use Mark 16:16 that people try to use, that says we don't have to do anything other than believe. When it says he believeth not, shall be saved. It doesn't say anything about he believeth not and baptized not, shall be saved. What comes out of this question is we don't have faith. If we've never heard the word, if we don't truly trust in Jesus, then why would we do that? It won't do you any good, because then you're just being dumped underwater. And it is just flowing over you, and you're just coming out. But if you believe, you truly believe that Jesus is the Son, you know that His blood can wash away your sins. We want to extend that opportunity this day to come forward as we stand to sing and be baptized.
Amen.
Last song this morning, being number 695.